The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the 12, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This past spring, I got my chance to teach my very first forum. I ended up doing something a bit out of the box and taught forum in a similar style that I teach confirmation. I had a blast, and it all culminated in a game of Pictionary. I often like to lit and confirmation with a game that draws on the themes of the day that we have already talked about. And that day, since we have been talking about Galatians, and I always like to throw in kind of one a little bit tricky word, especially when we're playing Pictionary. The word of the day that we had talked about was freedom. So I'm like, sure, I'll make them try and draw freedom. It turns out it was a little bit too tricky, and I stumped both the youth and the adults, even with my hints of, it was the major theme we talked about today. We talked about it. We said the word many times. Paul wrote it a bunch of times. We talked about it. Still didn't quite get it. Now, I personally thought somebody was going to draw something like, when you hear the word freedom, a flag like the United States of America's flag, or an eagle, which are very synonymous with freedom. And after all, this weekend is the 4th of July weekend, and it's staggering how much 4th of July freedom and red, white, and blue paraphernalia there is out there to buy. Maybe it just feels like it's more over the top than usual because now I have a kid and they have special 4th of July freedom-themed outfits that you can buy everywhere, like everywhere. But I don't think I'm imagining this. Freedom is one of those concepts that seems like it's deeply ingrained and valued in our culture. There's freedom of speech and freedom of religion. There's the freedom to grow up and become whatever you want to be. There's the freedom of choice. Oh, so many choices. From what you eat, to what you drive, to what you wear. In the immortal words of Mel Gibson in Braveheart, freedom! But how free are we really? A few years ago, a really fascinating and entertaining book came out called The Power of Habit by Charles Duhigg. It digs into why we do what we do and how often when we think we are free to make choices, it's really just us going on autopilot. And this makes us incredibly predictable. Now, if you can weed through all the data on habits, especially spending habits, it can be a gold mine for retailers. And when they really look to cash in is when we're going through major life transitions. A move, graduating from college, a new job. All of these things make our spending habits more flexible. For instance, it's known that when someone gets married, they're more likely to start buying a new brand of coffee. Or when a couple move into a new house, they are more likely to purchase a new type of cereal. Or when a couple gets divorced, there's an increased chance they'll start buying a different brand of beer. One of the biggest life transitions that I can attest to personally, and that has a huge, that puts a big target on our backs for retailers, is when you have your first child. All of a sudden, you're faced with buying brand new things that you've never had to think about or buy before. So, what will you buy? And where will you buy it? Everything from baby food to diapers to wipes to clothing to bathing supplies are up for grabs. And these are things that you keep buying over and over again. And there's also that incredibly large number of one-time purchases, like all the things you use to decorate the baby's nursery, like cribs and sheets and all those things. Now, as you can imagine, identifying women who are expecting is a lucrative task for businesses like Target, for example. Could they use the data collected from credit cards and other methods to predict how likely it was that a specific woman was pregnant and send them targeted ads, pun intended, to lure them in and create a new profitable target? Turns out they could. And in fact, it was scarily accurate. There was a specific market researcher who put this into place, Andrew Poole. So he created a pregnancy prediction model. And about a year after he had done this and they had started sending out these targeted ads, a man walked into a Target just outside of Minneapolis and demanded to see a manager. And he was clutching this thing of coupons that had been sent to his daughter, and he was angry. He said, my daughter got this in the mail. She's still in high school, and you're sending her coupon for baby clothes and cribs? Are you trying to encourage her to get pregnant? And the manager, of course, didn't have any idea what the man was talking about. He looked at the mailer, and sure enough, it was addressed to the man's daughter and contained advertisements for maternity clothing and nursery furniture and pictures of smiling, adorable infants. The manager, being a good manager, doing his job, apologized and then decided to check up a couple days later and apologize again. However, when he got this man on the phone, the father was a little bit abashed. He said, I had to talk with my daughter. It turns out there have been some activities in my house I haven't been completely aware of. She's doing obvious, and I owe you an apology. It turns out that we are, in fact, highly predictable people. That we have the freedom to move anywhere in the United States, especially. People live an average of 18 miles away from their mothers. Depending on what poll you read, about half of us are likely to buy the same car brand as before. There are tons of different phones to choose from with all sorts of crazy new features, and yet a staggering 92% of Apple iPhone users will buy another iPhone, even though another phone arguably has better stats and costs hundreds of dollars less. The culture says we have all the freedom in the world, but it turns out we have less freedom than we thought. We often become slaves to our smartphones, no matter what brand, waiting for the next call, text, retweet, or notification to pop up on our screen and have a hard time putting them down or, heaven forbid, turning them off. Despite the narrative we've been given of rags to riches and anything being possible, multiple studies confirm the rich are likely to stay rich and the poor are likely to stay poor. There's a whole chapter in The Power of Habit about gambling, habit, and addiction, and how there are known ways to both get someone addicted to gambling and to encourage such addictions to form. There are both environmental and genetic factors that are out of our control that can lead to someone being more susceptible to addiction than others. So how free are we? Turns out, not very. This is why Paul uses the imagery of slavery in Romans 6 and says, we were slaves to sin. At first, we balk at this metaphor, especially given our country's very unsavory history with slavery. But Paul's got a point. Sometimes sin just takes over. Sin becomes habit, if you will. The ways we sin become predictable, and we can be manipulated into giving in to our worst habits. And that susceptibility is a sin in and of itself. Call it original sin, part of being human, human nature, bondage of the will. We are all slaves to sin. As we said in the confession at the beginning of the service, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. The only thing we are free from in this scenario, Paul writes, is righteousness, being in a right and good relationship with God. As Paul writes, when you were slaves to sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. So what advantage did you then get from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. Thankfully, we are not left enslaved to sin, but hurtling towards our inevitable death. Paul writes, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. The but in that sentence changes everything. God did not leave us enslaved to sin. Instead, God freed us from sin through Jesus' death on the cross for the forgiveness of sins and resurrection for our eternal life. Through Jesus, we are given true freedom. We are free through the free gift of God given to us through Jesus. Free from the demands of our smartphones, free from the demands of the marketplace to buy certain products and ideas, free from the demands of our busy lives that tell us everything that we do needs more time and more attention and more care, free from all the stats that prove that we are really predictable beings, free from our genetics and our upbringings that tell us we will probably grow up to be a certain way or that our children will grow up to be a certain way. Freedom from sin, freedom from condemnation, freedom from ourselves, freedom from our bad habits, freedom from death. Not because of anything we have done, but simply out of God's love for each and every one of us. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. Of course, the challenging part is we still live in the world, and we are still human. So temptation and habit and sin are still very real. But all is already forgiven. All is already done. And there's something immensely freeing about knowing this, that we are already good with God, no matter what. So while Target and other marketers can still predict our purchasing habits, we are forgiven and free and loved through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.